Well, good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. And this wonderful, beautiful, sunny Friday of February 19th, and the weather is going up to 60 degrees, and the wind is blowing, keeping Chicago true to its nickname of the Windy City. We are here this morning praising and worshiping God for all of the elements that he allows us to experience from day to day. He does what he wants, when he wants, the way he wants, and there's nothing that man can do about it but bow down and worship him. And we thank him for loving us and giving us that consistency and that promise that the sun will always come up until judgment. Let us remember that. We're here with you on Words from the Word. I am your facilitator, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and we in the month of February have been focusing on prayer, all things prayer. Laborers for Christ is embarking on a prayer summit for the entire year, and each month we have a particular prayer watch that we are focusing on, and we are having a prayer watch summit in March. It'll be one day. It'll be March the 3rd. The prayer watch is the 3rd prayer watch, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little later. And anyone that desires to host that prayer watch, which is from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning, and we want to do it live on Blog Talk Radio. And that would be March 3rd radio. I believe that we're going to have it at this Blog Talk Radio address, and it will start promptly at 12 midnight on March 3rd. Praise the Lord for the vision of the apostle to focus on prayer. We want to share some of the, we sharing words from the Word and the things of the seven wonders and of the sexual relational healing retreat. And one of the areas that is provided at the retreat is the prayer room. And that prayer room comes with a vision and a mission and a purpose and just some basic prayer information. And so we will be sharing that with you as well, because prayer, being a noun and a verb in the Word of God, has extensive information presented us to us by our Lord. A source of communication is also found in the tabernacle, the prayer station, as well as the Holy of Holies, being the prayer room, the prayer closet. We thank God for the pattern that he gives us that helps us to visualize and to realize the plan that he has for our lives. He gives us direction and instruction, and he gives us those things that we cannot make it in the kingdom without, and prayer is one of those things. It is encouraging, inspiring, lifestyle, and it is as the one of Apostle's favorite songs. We want to become a house of prayer as individuals. So as we look at the when and the how, the what, the why, the results, and the instructions, and the things that are presented in Scripture in an abundance concerning this lifestyle activity of Christians of prayer, we want to go to our caller on the line to share with us this morning as well. Good morning, caller. You're on the line.
I am not sure if you're referring to me, Overseer.
Yes, ma'am. I sure am. Good morning, Elder. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with your listeners. And this has been a powerful segment, the segments preceding this on prayer. And I had some information that I wanted to share with your listeners on how not to pray when God says no and when God is silent, when God seems silent. So if I can just proceed with that.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
How not to pray. There seems to be a lot of things out on the market on how to pray. And let me first of all say that this is not an original thought that I'm sharing with your audience, but this is information that I have gathered from a Rose publication that talks about what the Bible says about prayer. God does not expect us to be perfect when we come to Him in prayer, but He does expect us to be honest. Prayer should be the place where we meet God honestly and openly. The Bible tells us that the prayers that God does not accept are the prayers that are prayers of hypocrisy. Luke 18:9-14 gives us an idea. Prayers that are spoken, and these are how not to pray. Prayers that are spoken to pat ourselves on the back. Luke 18:11 says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collectors. Prayers that are prayed all the while ignoring God's instructions. Psalm 66:18-20. God cares about whether we are following Him and how we are treating others rather than if we are simply going through the motion of prayer. Those prayers end up being empty and hindered. 1 Peter 5:7. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offering. Other ways that we shouldn't pray, prayers that are for a selfish reason. God knows all desires, and no secret is hidden from Him. Real prayer is an attitude of the heart, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. James 4:2-3 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Other ways that we shouldn't pray, prayers that are long and loud to get attention and admiration from other people. You can read that in Mark 12:40 and Luke 20:47. Matthew 6:5-8, and this is the New Living Translation, reads, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Those are instances of how not to pray. Then I'd like to share with your audience when God says no. Anyone who has made prayer part of his or her life knows that not everything asked for in prayer is granted. Prayer requests are just that, requests, not demands or magic words that will make something happen. God hears our prayers and makes them effective, but he ultimately decides how to answer them. And sometimes that answer is no. No is one of the shortest yet hardest words to hear. But what does God's no mean? Often his no is not a way of no way or just forget about it, but rather it is no, I have something better in mind. I'm going to share just some instances of biblical characters or people, biblical instances where God says no. He said no to Moses. The reference is Deuteronomy 3:23-27. Moses asked to cross over the Jordan River to see the promised land. God said no, but he let Moses view the promised land from the top of a mountain. He said no to David, 2 Samuel 7. King David asked to set up God's temple. God said no, but he promised to set up God. He promised to set up David's kingdom forever. And later he allowed David's son, Solomon, to build God's temple. God said no in John 11 to Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha asked Jesus to come quickly and heal their dying brother. But instead, Jesus waited until their brother died. Then Jesus did something beyond their wildest expectations. He raised their brother from the dead. He answered their heart's longing in a different way than what they had asked for. God told Paul no in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Paul had pleaded three times for God to free him from a problem, the thorn in his flesh, but God did not remove it. However, through accepting the problem, Paul found that God's grace was sufficient for him and that his power is made perfect in weakness. Paul found a greater meaning in his unanswered prayer. In the case of his own son, and you can reference this in Matthew 26:36-42. It's also recorded in Mark 14:32-36, and in Luke 22:39-44, as well as in John 18:11. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane is the only prayer that Jesus made that was denied. He prayed that if it were possible, the suffering that he was about to experience would be avoided. Yet he also prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." This example should teach us that there are some things we ask for, good as they may seem, that are not in God's will for us. Jesus accepted the Father's will that he should suffer on our behalf. And just look at the powerful results, the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus' resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' case, as in ours, the ultimate outcome from God will be life when God says no. And the last thing that I would like to share would be when God seems silent.
Yes.
Sometimes we pray for change in our lives, or the lives of our loved ones, and yet nothing happens. We do what we can, but God seems silent. From our perspective, our prayers may look like they're falling on deaf ears. Should we keep praying? Jesus addresses this important concern through two parables. The first parable is the parable of the friend in need that's found in Luke 11:15-13. After Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, some call that the disciples' prayer, he continues to instruct them through a story about a man who needs to borrow some food from a friend late at night for a visitor who is coming. Jesus says that the man will receive what he needs from his friend, not because his friend is so generous, but simply because of the man's persistence and boldness. The lesson: God, who is far more generous than the friend, will surely supply our needs if we consistently ask him. The second parable is the parable of the persistent widow which is also found in the book of Luke, Luke 18, 1 through 8. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's verse 1. In the parable, a widow keeps coming back day after day to seek justice from a correct judge. Though the judge does not care about the woman's concern, he gets tired of her bothering him, so he grants her justice. The lesson in this case, if even a corrupt judge grants persistent requests, how much more will God, who is just and cares for us, bring about justice in our lives when we continue to call on him? Overseer, I just wanted to share these. I thought that this was something, you know, a little different than what we see in some of the books and other literature. So I just wanted to share that with your audience, and thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, and we are so grateful that we're getting the perspective. We're also getting the revelation and the scope of just the importance of prayer. God has put so much information in his word concerning prayer, concerning how to, as you said, and how not to, when to, when not to, how the mechanics of it will flow when you do certain prayers at certain times, which is what we're going to go over into the prayer watches. But the Bible is so full. I think it's more full of the instructions and information concerning that Christian activity more than any other activity other than love. We see that throughout Scripture, it is sometimes referred to as God hears our requests or he answers us. We are calling on the name of the Lord, crying aloud to the Lord, lifting up our soul to the Lord, seeking the Lord, approaching the throne, calling on God. All of these are instances and are examples of the activity, one of the most important activities in a Christian's life. And even though it may not have been one of the commandments, and yet it is one that if we cannot exist in the kingdom without it. So it's more than a thing to do, but it is an activity to become a part of. And we are going to play that music now of becoming a house of prayer. So enjoy.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house.
May the fire on my altar.
And hand washing was just one of the symbols that they use to do that, which is why it is present in the sanctuary at Labors for Christ. Present just as a reminder of what he said, who can come into his presence for those with clean hands and a clean heart. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze for washing, and you shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet from it. When they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, so that they will not die. Or when they approach the altar to minister, by offering up a smoke of fire of sacrifice to the Lord, so they shall wash their hands." The very importance of how we come to God, we must always be made mindful of. And that's why there's certain objects and certain things that we were told to use, and we were shared how the children of Israel used them to help keep that at the forefront of their hearts so that they would not sin against God. Now, the Greek word used for washing in this text, I'll read Psalms 24, 3 and 4. "And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." In the New Testament, God's word is referred to as the laver. When Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and 26, "As Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." The Greek word used for washing in this text means laver. So the text in the Greek would have read, "having cleansed her by the laver of water with the word." Amen. Hand washing is used as a reminder for us of the need to come to that place by the laver, to be cleansed by the word of God before coming into the presence of God or before ministering to man on his behalf. Whether it is a hand of service in ministry, a hand folded in prayer for intercession, or hands lifted up in an offering of praise and sacrifice, James exhorts us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Much the same as when Jesus tells us before we partake of Holy Communion to examine ourselves, so let us be found in the Word, so that we will be sanctified by it and cleansed by it as we enter his presence with our work and our worship. And our words of prayers will be in alignment with our Father's will. And then we won't pray those prayers amiss, or the prayers that we should not pray, or the prayers that we were warned not to stand before him and pray. In order for our prayers to be effective, our prayers and to be answered, they have to have sincere, true faith. We have to have sincere, true faith. Prayers must also be in the name of Jesus, according to John 14, 13 through 14. Our prayers should be made in harmony with the person, character, and will of the Lord. Prayers can only be effective if it is made according to God's perfect will. And one of the ways the children of Israel were encouraged, and actually it was a command for them, was the prayer shawl. They had to put the prayer shawl. So I would like to share with you some of the meaning behind the prayer shawl, which became their closet as they wrapped themselves up in the prayer shawl. No matter where they were, they provided an intimate, closed setting for them to go to the presence of the Lord, no matter where they were, which is why in ministry we do encourage all to have a prayer shawl. Bring it. Can you imagine how it would be at a service if we, instead of talking or sitting and looking around, we were wrapped in our prayer shawl in intimate fellowship and communication with the Lord as we worship on one accord. And so in Numbers 15:37-40, again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corner. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the idolatry to which your own hearts and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Can you see how the Lord was teaching us how to wrap ourselves up and not look at to the right and to the left, not look at the lust of the eyes or the flesh? It's wrapped up into this garment of worship and praise. God designed every thread of the Jewish prayer shawl, and it holds 9 revelations of God that I want to try to share with you today. God told Moses exactly how to make it and commanded every righteous Jew to wear it for all generations. Moses wore a prayer shawl to his funeral. David wore one when he fought Goliath. Jesus wore it into the darkness of Gethsemane, and he's going to wear it in his second coming. The mystery of the prayer shawl first reveals the name of God. The Bible is a book of numbers, and in the Hebrew language, every letter has a numerical value. For example, the number 7 is the number for completion and perfection, and the number 12 is the number of government authority, whereas the Antichrist will be revealed through the number 666. God chose to reveal his name through numerology in the prayer shawl. In Exodus 6:3, God says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not know him by the name Jehovah. Man followed God for centuries before he shared his majestic name. Now we come to the coils in the prayer shawl. First, there are 7 coils, followed by 8 coils, then, which equal 15. 15 consists of 10 and 5. 10 in Hebrew is the word Yad, and 5 in the word is He. Then there are 11 coils. 11 consists of 6 and 5. 6 in Hebrew is the word Va, and 5 is He. Put these together and you have Jehovah, which is Jehovah. It means to be. As the song says, "Let me be a house of prayer." It means to be. God is not a God just for a moment, but he is a God from the beginning. He is the God who is and the God who will ever be. He is the great I am. Therefore, before the word became flesh, his name was transmitted in symbolism in the prayer shawl, Jehovah. And then the prayer shawl reveals the word of God. "For the word of the Lord is right, and his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the earth by them, by the breath of his mouth." The mystery of the prayer shawl reveals the word of God. On the side of the prayer shawl are a number of knots. Each one of these represent the 613 commandments of the Word of God that every Jewish man memorized. The purpose of the knots was so that when you looked upon it and remembered all of the commandments of the Lord to do them, and can you imagine looking upon them, you would remember God's word and you would pray accordingly. And as a result, your prayers will be heard and answered, for God has promised that. Your word, he says in Psalms 119:11, David says, your word I have hidden in my heart. So David was a Jewish, and he had remembered, he had done that which was required of every Jewish man. He had remembered, he had memorized the 613 commandments of the Word of God. And he says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word hidden means to memorize. The word I memorize is the word I utilize. And we have to remember that. So how much word do we have in our hearts? We hear throughout scriptures it's saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that fact alone is what defeated Satan on the mountain when he was trying to tempt our Savior. It is written, it is written, it is written. Do we know what is written? Have we memorized it and hidden it in our hearts? So that as we go forth, not just in prayer, but in all Christian activity, having that word so we will not sin against God and so that we will be victorious. You can do what this book says for you to do, and you can have what this Bible says that you can have. When you know what is written, you can speak the word of God, and God will act upon his word, and he will attack your adversary. So began, with these knots. The first knot is the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Follow that with each of the 613 spiritual principles and learn the power. The word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. This word can conquer death, disease, and conquer demonic powers. So our prayers will be fervent and effective. The word can transform twisted lives and make them beautiful again. When Satan roars against you that you are defeated, take the word of God and respond back to him. He will surely flee, for this is a promise that God has made to us. Then the prayer shawl draws one to God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The Jewish prayer shawl was used, as I said before, as a prayer closet. The tabernacle was far too small for 2 million people to get into the house of God. So every man had a prayer shawl to provide his own tabernacle. And as the song said, make me a house of prayer. The prayer shawl represents the praise of God at the cross. Read Hebrews 6:19-20. It is clear that Balaam looked down upon Israel and saw the cross and heard the shout of a king is among us. Numbers 23:21. The men of Israel were standing in front of the tabernacle with their prayer shawls up, and they were shouting praises to God for delivering them from Egypt's bondage and for the abundance of provisions in the wilderness. Our God is worthy, awesome praise. The prayer shawl reveals the flag of Israel. When we think of a flag and you see it flying, and there used to be a time that the American flag was a flag to be proud of, and when you would see it, the world even became more hopeful that help was on the way. But can you imagine the prayer shawl being our flag? And when you see it, you don't have to hope. You know that help is ever present and has already conquered and provided whatever provisions we need. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11 and 12, God said, I personally am going to design a flag under which my people will come home. That's that banner. And then actually, historically speaking, on May 15, 1948, Jewish people began to pour home for 66 nations under that banner. God will do what he says that he will do. The prayer shawl and a double portion of miracles in Acts 2:2-7. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Can you even imagine if prayer is such an important thing in the kingdom? It has its own language. Hallelujah, Jesus. The prayer shawl reveals God's double portion of miracles. Elijah had a leather belt that was his distinguishing mark. It was a prayer shawl made of camel's hair. And Elijah rolled it up and hit the Jordan River with it, and the waters divided. That you'll find in 2 Kings 2 and 8. That's a miracle. Previously, when Elijah prayed for the widow's son, he put the prayer shawl over the boy's body and then tied the corners around his waist. And then Elijah stretched over the body of the boy and prayed three times, and the boy came back to life. Prayer is all through the activity in the lives of those that are in kingdom relationship. When Elijah threw his mantle or prayer shawl over Elijah, Elijah immediately left his home to be trained by Elijah. Elisha was determined to get a double portion of your spirit. So Elijah said, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. And when the miraculous event occurred, Elijah looked up Elijah's prayer shawl, and the spirit of Elijah came to rest upon the younger. And Elijah's ministry record records twice as many miracles as that of Elijah. What does this mean? Just as Elijah saw Elijah go to heaven, so the disciples saw Jesus going to heaven. And in obedience to Jesus' instructions, on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in the upper room waiting for the promise of power to fall from heaven upon them. That mighty outpouring of power transformed their lives and ignited the life of the church. You shall receive a double portion of God's power, Pentecostal power, power to heal, to witness, and to cast out devils, and to walk in this world victoriously. And then we have the power, the prayer shawl, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. All of this information you can find in the brochure of Touching the Hem of His Garment. The hem of his garment, Matthew 9:20-21. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I can touch his garment, I shall be made whole. In Mark 5:25-43, the woman had the issue of blood said, if only I could touch his clothes, I could be made whole. The Greek word for clothes is Shapadam, which means twisted coil. She was reaching to the corner of his prayer shawl. She said to herself, if only I could reach that twisted coil that spells the name of God, I can be healed. And as soon as she touched it, she was immediately healed, for the Bible says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do. Now to the prayer shawl in resurrection. When Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth laying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. That's found in John 20, 6 and 7. It was customary for a Jew to be buried with the prayer shawl wrapped around his head. Paul saw the handkerchief or prayer shawl folded neatly in the corner of the tomb. Jesus knew that Peter would think the Romans had stolen his body. But when he saw the prayer shawl neatly folded, it said two things to this Jewish man. Whoever folded this was alive, and whoever folded this was Jewish. And the only person that possibly that could be was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was verification beyond any doubt that Jesus Christ was alive indeed. And the last appearance of the prayer shawl is in Revelation 19. He had a name written that no one knew except him. That's Revelation 19 and 12. Then it said, and he has his robe, and on his thigh written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That name spelled out on the prayer shawl will declare the majesty of his name. And then prayer shawl revealing and according to the will of God. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. For prayer is effective, for prayer to be effective, it must be asked according to the will of God. Some people think the will of God is mysterious. It's not. The will of God is found, yes, in the Word of God. We can know the will of God by reading the Word of God. Conversely, there is no point in praying about a matter that God has already made clear is not his will. The Bible says God is light, 1 John 1 and 5. That means he's against darkness. So the will of God is against the cult, witchcraft, Satanism, fortune telling. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That's John 10 and 10. That means God is pro-life and anti-abortion. You don't have to pray about whether or not to keep a baby. God is peace. That means he opposes fear, intimidation, and manipulation. If there's anyone trying to control your life, this is not the will of God. You don't need to pray about whether to get away from that person. God is holy and pure. You don't have to pray about pornography or nudity or any form or immorality. God is love, which means he opposes hatred, bitterness, strife, racism, and anti-Semitism. God is forgiving. If you are a grouch or resentful, you are out of the will of God, and you will not hear. He will not hear your prayer. God is a giver and has established the tithe as our standard of giving. You don't have to pray about how much you should give God, Malachi 3 and 10. God is our authority. This means if you rebel against the delegated authority of God, you're out of the will of God. You will never have an answer to your prayer if you are out of the spiritual authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we see and mention even in this purpose and mysteries of the prayer shawl that the Jewish people were commanded to use for all generations, we also see that God has a heart for the Jewish people and commanded us to pray for peace in Jerusalem. And we must look to that area in order to be informed and understand the pattern of things that God has put forth in his word for the Jewish nation as well as the Gentiles, who we are, sons and daughters of Abraham and adopted through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure we find ourselves at peace and praying for the Jewish nation. When Christ comes back, he will come back according to his promise and the Lord's God's promise to the children of Israel in establishing them as a nation. We do want to remind you of our prayer summit focus and the fact that in March, on March 3rd, we will have a blog talk prayer summit meeting regarding the third watch. The third watch is from midnight to 3 a.m. And that blog talk will start at midnight on March 3rd, which is a Thursday, right here on this blog talk station. And we can make it the more information, will be forthcoming. We do have another week, but we do want to encourage those that are listening and those that will listen to consider, pray about it, and pray to be the host. Apostle is looking for someone to host that time of prayer. It has happened in January, and it went forth in February, and it's a very powerful time. And even though we may not physically be in the prayer sanctuary, we will be on Blog Talk Radio. And we encourage everybody that's on the radio doing that prayer summit, prepare yourself, get your personal communion available and ready. Get a symbolic hand washing station ready. Get an altar, prepare an altar with candles and just prepare a place for prayer. Become a hub. Get your prayer shawl. Get your prayer shawl. Wrap in your prayer shawl and dial the number. And I am sure the power that will go forth will emulate from your computer throughout your whatever area you're in. And can you imagine that happening all over the country? Because you're not bound physically. So those from all over the country will be calling in for that prayer summit so that we might be on one accord. And during that summit, the prayer focus will go forth. And those that are present and they feel the passion to cover the areas of focus will go forth. And so we're excited about that, and we're encouraging those that are listening to become a part of it and be a host to it. And then you can establish it how the Spirit will lead you. We do have Midnight Prayer Watch is waging spiritual warfare. That prayer watch will be a time for spiritual warfare. It is the third watch of the night and one of the most important times to keep watch. This is a special time for divine government overruling human decree. This is when the deep sleep falls upon man, according to Acts 20, 7 through 12. Remembering, according to Matthew 13 and 24, 5, while man sleeps, the enemy went to sow terror in the field. This is therefore a period of heightened satanic activity. So we definitely want to get an understanding, a full understanding of what our focus is and what this prayer watch is designed to do. It's a time to declare Psalms 91, 5, and 6 for divine protection for yourself, your family, your church, your city, and your nation. This nation is in trouble, and it cannot get out of trouble unless the saints pray and wage spiritual warfare. This period is also a time that the enemies in the street are attacking and assaulting one another with increased activity, rapists and people who rob, according to Judges 19. The Levite concubine was raped about this period and was only left to go before dawn. So pray and silence the enemy, for there is evil that not lurks, but it marches boldly. But that bold march can be cut down by the spiritual warfare and prayers of the saints of God. We have callers on the line, and I want to give you this opportunity for comment and sharing what God has for you. I do one last thing. The prayer watch is also freedom for the bride. That's from Exodus 12 and 29. We'll be reading more about this third prayer watch, but just giving you insight and an advance preview of what is coming and what that third prayer watch summit is going to be focusing on. So, callers, you are live on the line. I see we have minister out there as well as elder who shared with us earlier. Any comments or additions and sharing that you would like to do? You are on the line. Yes.
I just thank God for the insight that He gave you and the revelation and truth. And even though we go over the prayer shawl, it was good to just have that brought back to remember. So just enjoyed it tremendously.
Hallelujah. We thank God. We thank
and
God.
Elder Deborah.
Elder, do you have any clothes?
I'm sorry, Elder, I had you on mute. Yes, I'm sorry. I had you on mute. In closing thought, I just think that it's been a great broadcast, and I appreciate the information on the prayer shawl, basically all of the information. So just a great job, and kudos out to you.
Well, I do. I thank God for your input and for your encouragement, and we're going to just program with this song praying for peace for Jerusalem. So I thank you all. Next week may look a little different, but definitely I look forward to serving you and just praising God on you.
No, God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the coming of the Prince of Peace, that you break down the walls and the barriers of hatred and of sin that separates brother from brother and those who call upon your name, that you would establish your throne in this city, that you will come and take up your place, the one that belongs to you alone, that you will establish your righteousness and your rule, that the kingdom of God will cover the earth even as the waters cover the seas, and that the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, will be a banner and a shade and a comfort to all peoples who call upon your name in holiness. Maranatha, speed the day. Even so, Yeshua, come. Take up your throne and bring peace to this city and to this world.